Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
Hey, Jan. Well, today it looks like the rain is back in the forecast. We really haven't been out of the woods. Really great monsoon season.
It's been wonderful. I've enjoyed it.
Definitely. So we're going to talk a lot about our maintenance and what we should be doing outside in our garden today. But before that, we want to go ahead and talk a little bit about some upcoming events that we have. There is still time to visit the Master Gardeners at the Ardovino's Farmers Market. They're, believe it or not, halfway through their season. They'll be there until September 30th. So you still have plenty of Saturdays to go out there and visit with them.
And they're so knowledgeable. They have lots of fun programs that are going on and challenging ways so that we can educate you all and share with you the horticultural knowledge that we've learned and we want to share with you. So besides the fact we've got some tomatoes and the eggplants in, the okra's starting, we still have lots of chilies. So there's a lot to do out at Ardovino's when you stop by our booth.
And if you can't get out to the farmer's market, rest assured that you can always visit the Master Gardener website at txmg.org/El Paso. And all of those documents that are on there have been specifically incorporated into the site because they are either have been developed for El Paso by El Paso Master Gardeners, or they have been picked and choose from our state publication site. So we know that they're actually suitable for our climate and our region.
And that's a great thing to do when the monsoons are here and it's raining. Just sit down and click on that Learn tab. And the next thing you know, it'll be time to fix dinner because you can just soak up so much information about everything that works in El Paso. And that's so important to create a successful garden for yourself, so that you know what you're doing here and the things that work and the way to go about making things happen.
Exactly. And that's one of our biggest challenges. Always when we do our educational programs, whether those are group classrooms or one-on-one, a lot of times people are new to the area or they just kind of think that either two different extremes, that nothing's going to grow in the desert climate and it's a barren area, they want to bring their garden to look like something in the southeastern United States.
Exactly.
So we have these polar, opposite extremes on there. And, we have that happy medium, but you really have to kind of learn a lot about what works in El Paso in our area to be able to have a real successful gardening program.
The gardening experience. And people say, oh, I have a black thumb. Well, I almost bristle when folks say that. I don't believe that anybody has a black thumb. You may not have learned about what to do depending on where you live. And we have a lot of folks that enter in or out of El Paso because of Fort Bliss. So they may have been in Dallas, Texas, or back on the East Coast and stuff. So they do have to adapt. But there's no such thing as a black thumb. You can learn to garden wherever you are. So that's right. Why we're here.
And to be a good gardener and have a good gardening experience, you really have to be out in the garden itself. So today we're going to talk a lot about maintenance. What are we going to do? We're towards the end of what we consider our summer season, if you will. We still got our lawns going great. And oh gosh, with this rain.
Oh, it's been amazing.
I think we've really had to cut back on your sprinkler. So you want to make sure that if you do have a sprinkler system, you have either a rain sensor or you go out and manually turn off your sprinkler system. You don't want to spray that water when it's actively raining as well. And I know a lot of times people can be really quick to judge public spaces.
Right. It's easy to do.
Exactly. But we need to do our part as well to be able to ensure that our sprinkler system is not going to go off when in fact it is raining.
Well, and I just turned mine back on about a week and a half ago. And I'm trying to be very careful about watching for the rain. And just because we're gardeners doesn't mean that we don't have issues that pop up. I'll use myself as an example. I've had a problem with a fungus growing in my hybrid Bermuda grass that I've had for many, many years. And it's always just been like a golf course, but I've had to treat it and read up and constantly learn and talk to our master gardeners that are very well versed in that arena. And it's helped. It's doing better. It's still not exactly where I want it to be, but that's okay. If anything dies, I always say it's an opportunity.
Right.
Because you can always plant other things. I kind of had a three-strike rule. Right. I'll plant you three times. If not, you're out of here. I'll go find something else because there's tons in. And the gardens are gorgeous right now. But like you say, it's time to really maintain. We think, oh, okay, summer's over. We're going to quit. But you don't need to quit. We're going to be talking in a couple of weeks about fall gardening. But this is a good time to be thinking about it. We always say this during the winter time when we're doing the show. We talk about get ready and plan mentally for the spring. So now it's time to get ready to plan for fall and get your garden squared away and ready to go.
Right, exactly. So you really want to hold off as far as your turf. You don't want to really give it a fertilizer right now. We'll kind of let you know sometime in September is going to be a great time for that. And we'll remind you here on the show when that will be. But one of the really big indicators of a healthy lawn is that there's no weeds growing in it. And a lot of times what happens is those weeds are going to compete with the existing grass. So sometimes you see that, and what folks think is a logical thing to do is just go in there and chop everything off, and then, you know, the grass will come back. Well, that's not the case. Essentially, what you're doing is you're spreading all of those weed seeds along in your lawn. You don't want to be able to do that. So you can manually pick those out or get a specific herbicide that's just going to be for broad leaf weeds, but you need to identify exactly what your weeds are to begin with, or else you'll be actually adding to the problem.
Exactly, and it goes back to what we've preached over and over about reading the instructions on the back of it and knowing, like you say, what we need to put on what weeds and where they are. As I mentioned, I've had this fungus, so I've had some bare spots. Well, one of the greatest things that I have found that chokes out my weeds is a good, healthy lawn, because then the grass is like, ooh, I'm first and you're second. But I've been doing that very thing, and with this rain, we've all had tons and tons of weeds that are popping up, whether it's in our grass or my front yard is xeriscaped, and oh my goodness.
Right.
And I've been bending over a lot and manually picking, but it's still really difficult to keep on top of those things.
Exactly. And our late summer weeds right now that we'll see a lot of are going to be the amaranth, which is the pigweed.
Yes.
That can get really easy up to knee high.
In a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat, exactly. Or you'll also see the puncture vine, which is going to be the low growing, spreading, very delicate yellow flowers that have essentially people call them goat heads as well. Those are very quick to flower and seed. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that you remove all those really quickly as well. There's also one that comes out the purslane, the portulaca,
yes,
as well. And people, it's a culinary plant.
It is.
People
you
use
can
that. Uh huh, definitely. So you want to make sure that you identify, first of all, your weeds and get them out as quickly as possible. And yeah, I have the combination of that too with my front area. It's just really xeric. It's really native plants. And my best tool is the little shuffler that I call. You know, it's a little bull hole. Exactly. And that just makes it so much easier to be able to pull out those weeds. I mean, you can't even see them sometimes with your naked eye. You have to kind of concentrate.
Look closely.
Yeah, they're there. But man, it just makes it so much easier to remove and get those weeds out of that area. Because once they get big
and it's hard to pull them out of the rock too. I mean, you know, of course, when it's like you were talking about the pigweed, you know, when it comes up to your knees, it's pretty easy to spot. So you pull it out. And that's another good thing about with our monsoons. That's the perfect time is the morning after it rains. Get out there and your soil is damp and it's a whole lot easier to do your mechanical pulling. And I've got, I have a huge stand of frog's fruit, which is a great little ground cover with a pretty pink flower. And so my weeds are growing up in that. So they're the only way I can do it is to do it mechanically and do a little bit at a time. Good exercise.
Right.
That bending over, getting up, bending over, getting up. So that's an advantage. And another good thing that you can do for your weed control, especially in your flower beds, if you're vegetable gardening, put down a layer of newspaper, newsprint, the black and white, not the colored. Mm-hmm. It's going to break down for you eventually, and then you're going to cover it with compost, some good compost, a good stand of compost, and some mulch. Mm-hmm. And you have to stop and remember that your weeds are just like your plants. In order for them to grow, they need light and they want water. Mm-hmm. So if you deprive them of that, then guess what? That's going to knock them back a lot. So that's a really important thing to do, and you'll find it to be very beneficial.
And is it the 5-sheet thickness Jen? Is that what the standard go-to is?
That normally is what I've done at home and what we've done. And it's kind of another, sometimes we call it lasagna gardening. You can even do cardboard. Mm. But make sure, again, that you don't have that which has a lot of glue and that kind of stuff. Because it will break down into your garden, which means it's going to feed your garden eventually. Right. And it's a good thing to do because then you're not disturbing the roots. Sometimes when you're disturbing the roots of those weeds, then they're going to go, we're bringing us to the top of the soil so I can get some more light. And, of course, with the rain, they're getting plenty of water. That's why they're popping up everywhere. And it is hard because if you're doing it and your neighbors aren't, then that yes. causes another problem.
That is definitely.
But you can mentor them and teach them the best way to keep their yard pretty and happy.
Always use that as a learning opportunity
exactly.
as well. Well, we do know that even throughout the monsoon season, some folks even got hit with strong rainstorms and sometimes even hail.
Yes.
So even if it's not our traditional time that we consider to be a good pruning time, if you do have some damaged branches on your trees or large shrubs, please make sure you take those and remove those. First of all, the most important thing is always people and their safety.
Absolutely.
So keep that in mind. Don't feel that you're going to damage the plant in any way. Take that off. And you want to always do that 3-cut rule so that you prevent any kind of bark stripping or any kind of other further damage to the main trunk of the plant as well. So you want to make sure that you go ahead and do all of those mm-hmm. Maintenance things out there. And another thing that we were talking about earlier was just the sensitivity to most folks with mosquito bites.
Oh, yes.
And having that standing water available, and it takes several walks around, several
it
times,
does.
You know, to be able to find any small amount of water, even in something like a saucer or a discarded pot or, you know.
A shoe.
Right?
A garden shoe that's out in the rain. I've been, and we're all guilty of it, but you do need to be very diligent about that because the mosquito situation has been very bad. But it goes with the monsoons. It's just the way it is. And it's very seasonal here, so we're really pretty lucky all in all.
Yeah, I think it's a good problem to have in regards to mosquitoes. It means that there's water close to us.
Absolutely.
And standing there, so we definitely need that.
It does make a difference.
And for those of you that get to drive around El Paso quite often in your travels, you'll see those beautiful mountains are nice and green these days.
So, it's so refreshing, especially first thing in the morning.
Exactly, especially when those ocotillos on those Franklin Mountains
yes.
come to life and they green up. Oh, the mountains look so green. So we're very, very pleased and very pleased to have a great monsoon season. But we want to make sure that we're
take good care of things exactly and be aware of what we've got. And speaking of what we got, how about a plant of the week?
That's right, before we run out of time. So
right.
Yeah, let's talk about that, Jen.
Well, we talked about purslane as a weed,
yeah,
which it is, and it's edible. But right now in the garden centers, there's a purslane. It's a portulaca, actually. Mm-hmm. And there's really two kinds. One is called the moss rose, which is probably the most popular. And the other one is called purslane. And it's trailing. It's beautiful. It has different color flowers, and it opens and closes to the sun. Very drought tolerant. Loves our neck of the woods, and it just adds a gorgeous splash of color to your garden anytime in the summer. And it will last until the first frost, and depending on the winter, it'll even hang on beyond that. So
wonderful.
Give that one a shot.
There you go, and that's your plant of the week. We're out of time for today, but thank you for listening. My name is Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.